And as you're getting the outline, you can also turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Seems like it's been a long time since we came back to this. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 tonight. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. In his autobiography, the first one, Billy Martin told about hunting in Texas with Mickey Mantle. Mickey had a friend who would let them hunt on his ranch. When they reached the ranch, Mickey told Billy to wait in the car while he checked in with his friend. Mantle's friend quickly gave them permission to hunt, but he asked Mickey a favor. He had a pet mule in the barn who was going blind, and he didn't have the heart to put it out of his misery. So he asked Mickey to shoot the mule for him. When Mickey came back to the car, he pretended to be angry. He scowled and slammed the door. Billy asked him what was wrong, and Mickey said his friend wouldn't let them hunt. "I'm so mad at that guy," Mantle said. "I'm going out to his barn and shoot one of his mules." Mantle drove like a maniac to the barn. Martin protested, "We can't do that." But Mickey was adamant. "Just watch me," he shouted. When they got to the barn, Mantle jumped out of the car with his rifle, ran inside, and shot the mule. As he was leaving, though, he heard two shots, and he ran back to the car. He saw that Martin had taken out his rifle, too. "What are you doing, Martin?" he yelled. Martin yelled back, face red with anger, "We'll show him. I just killed two of his cows." Anger can be dangerously contagious. And the writer of Proverbs told us to make not friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man we should not go. Why? Because we might learn his ways. Kathy Fussell told this story in Today's Christian Woman. "I have found if I don't have my quiet time each morning, I tend to lose my temper over insignificant things. Recently, my son Andrew reminded me of the need for daily prayer. He had accidentally spilled his drink, and I went into a tirade. Andrew ended my harsh words when he quietly asked, 'Mom, did you forget to ask Jesus to help you be nice today?'" The book of James. It's patterned after Genesis chapter 49 in the Old Testament. I think it's neat that the way God has laid this out for us. The name James means Jacob in Hebrew, and James is the Jacob of the New Testament. Jacob in Genesis 49 prophesied over his sons, who were to be the patriarchs and heads of the 12 tribes of natural Israel. He warned them of characteristics that God wanted to work in their lives and take out of their lives so that they would fulfill God's purposes for their life. The sad story is that many of those sons failed, and they never did live up to the purposes God had for them. Now, here's the thing about the book of James. James brings this same message into the New Testament. God's sons are spiritual Israel. And as spiritual Israel, he warns us of characteristics and things that we need to take out of our lives or things that we need to add into our lives to be more Christ-like. And James follows the exact same order of dealing with the spiritual characteristics in the book of James as we find in the pattern of Genesis chapter 49. And so tonight we're going to look at the Simeon characteristic. We looked at Reuben some weeks back. He was the oldest son. The characteristic of Reuben was instability. And James talked about instability and double-mindedness. And now we go to the Simeon characteristic, and we'll see that the Simeon characteristic is anger, uncontrolled anger. So turn back to Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 through 7, and you will see our pattern. Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7. "Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Simeon's weakness, the weakness of his character, was uncontrolled anger. He was an angry person. In verse 7, we see that it was an anger that was to be cursed. It was an anger that was fierce. It was an anger that was cruel. In their anger, they slew a man. It was an uncontrolled anger. Jacob warns his second son, Simeon. He says, "Son, this uncontrolled anger in you is fierce and cruel. You're going to miss God's purposes for your life if you don't change this. You need to get a hold of your anger. You need to do something with this. You got to change your anger, son." Well, Simeon, as well as his tribe, did not alter this characteristic and did not allow God to change their spirit of anger. And they never really fulfilled the work that God had for them to do. Because of this uncontrolled anger, Simeon had this weakness, cursed by his own father, by Jacob, and he was eventually scattered. He missed the will of God for his life he couldn't get a handle on this problem of anger. As I was studying this, I found out that the name Simeon, very interestingly, means in the Hebrew, to hear with the ear. If you look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 again, we see James dealing with the Simeon characteristic of uncontrolled anger, but he's also playing upon the Hebrew name Simeon. The character weakness of Simeon is also related to this man Simeon as a key to understanding the problem. Okay, uncontrolled anger, and his name means to hear with the ear. We need to understand what is happening here. A son of Israel must be quick to hear, slow to wrath. James is saying, you are spiritual Simeonites. The name means to hear with the ear. Okay, I want you to live up to that name. I want you to be a hearing people. I want you to be quick to hear, swift to hear. Hear what God has to say to you. And if we are more concerned and focused on hearing, we will not be able to, or we won't have the uncontrolled anger that we might have had otherwise, as we normally would. So the solution to anger, the solution to wrath, is really, first of all, be swift to hear. That's verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." That's talking about a teachable spirit. Swift to hear, a teachable spirit. If you are a person who is swift to hear or not, that will show whether you have a teachable spirit or not. A man who is swift to hear has a ready ear. He wants to be told. He wants to be warned. He wants to be exhorted so that he doesn't make the same mistakes that he sees other people making. He wants his life to be fruitful. And I want you to know that this is a command. Let every man be swift to hear. I didn't figure this out, but some commentators found out that in the Greek, there are 60 imperatives or 60 commands in the book of James. 60 commands in 108 verses. That's a lot of commands. That's better than one command for every two verses. No book in the Bible, as far as I know, has so many commands in relation to the number of verses we find in the book of James. And because of that, many people say that the book of James is a book of legalism. It's a book of laws because we are told to do, we are commanded so many things. It is a book of laws, but they are not laws of restraint. They are laws of liberty. And so the command is to be swift to hear. Are you passing this test? When an authority comes to you and they want to speak to you about certain areas of your life, is your response, "Yes, speak to me. Correct me. Adjust me. Warn me. Don't let me make mistakes. Let me see the pitfalls ahead. Let me know of the dangers that are before me. I don't want to make the mistakes. I don't want to sin against God. I want to fulfill His purposes for me. So any way that you can, strengthen me, help me, show me." Is that your response? You have a teachable spirit. Are you swift to hear? Those that aren't swift to hear have excuses, arguments, and get angry at those who are trying to help them in the Lord. Number two, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. A humble spirit. If you are slow to speak, it reveals a spirit of humility. This is the characteristic of one who is willing to take the place of a learner. It's someone who doesn't think that they know it all. You know, people that are swift to speak always have something to say. They feel that what they have to say is more important than what anybody else has to say. They portray as one that has all the answers. But God wants us to have a spirit of humility and to be willing to listen to others. You know, you don't always have to have something to say. I learned that. And probably Pastor Pillman has learned that as well, that sometimes when you visit people, you need to listen for a long time before you really say anything and give advice. And when you're there to counsel and console people, sometimes the best thing to say is not to say anything at all, but just let them pour out their heart to you, and you just be there a source of strength and encouragement for them. You don't have to have all the answers. That really helped me when I understood that. You know, as a pastor, I used to think I had to have all the answers. I had to know just the right words to say to people. But I realized that I don't have all the answers. And there are times when it's okay to really not say anything or much at all. It's better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt, somebody said. And so the warning for us there is to be slow to speak. An example of someone that was not fulfilling these admonitions is that of Simon Peter. And interestingly, Simon is the Greek form of Simeon, which is Hebrew. They mean one and the same. And Jesus plays on that name in John chapter 1 and verse 42. If I were to ask you tonight, who was the disciple that was usually the first one to speak? Who would you say? Peter? Would you agree with me that it was Peter? Peter always had something to say, didn't he? Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 42, it says, "And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." If we understand the meaning of his name, Jesus is making a play on words here, and he's saying to him, your name is Simon, which means to hear with the ear. I want you to know that if you live up to the meaning of your name, and you be a hearing man, you be a disciple, you be one that I teach, then I'm going to change your name, I'm going to change your nature, and I'm going to make you solid as a rock. I'm going to teach you many things. And if you really are a hearing man, Peter, I will make you Cephas. I'll make you solid as a rock. But as we read through the stories of the New Testament, we see Peter. We see Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's build three tabernacles, he says. He opens up his mouth when he should have been quiet. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in the presence of the glorified Christ? We would have been awestruck, and yet Peter opens his mouth, makes a fool out of himself. Jesus is speaking about God's eternal redemptive plan later on and how that he was going to give his life. Peter speaks up, rebukes the Lord. Lord, no way is that going to happen. Jesus has to rebuke him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter should have been swift to hear and slow to speak, but it was the opposite with him. He was swift to speak and slow to hear. One time, you all know the story, how Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to deny him, and that before the cock would crow the second time, he would deny the Lord three times. Peter said, "No way, Lord, I will never deny you." What happens? The cock crows. Peter looks over at Jesus, and the words that Jesus spoke to him, he remembered, and he wept, went out and he wept bitterly. If Peter had a teachable spirit and be willing to be swift to hear, I don't think he would have made so many mistakes. If you have a teachable spirit and are swift to hear and slow to speak, you won't make those same mistakes. The spirit of humility will keep you from opening your mouth and saying things that would cause you great grief and problems that could have been avoided. Peter had also a compulsive, uncontrolled anger when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us that Peter took out his sword. It's my personal opinion that he meant to cut the guy's head off, but he was a poor shot and he got his ear instead. And we know the story how Jesus healed Malchus, the high priest's servant's ear, put it back on him and healed him. But Peter, in his anger, What he did out of loyalty, which is commendable, but he also did it out of anger, which he should not have done. And I don't know if there's any significance to this or not, but I also thought it was interesting that Peter cut off his ear. And the name Simon means be swift to hear. And there might be a little inspirational application there. The problems that we have in our lives, if we don't correct those problems, we reproduce those problems in the lives of others. Peter was not one who was able to hear. So what did he do? He cut off the hearing of somebody else. The problems that we have, the weaknesses in our character that we have, if we don't deal with those, if we don't let God purge us of those unnecessary and negative characteristics and build the character of Christ in us instead, we might hinder people in the very areas where we are weak ourselves. The third way to overcome their anger there is to be slow to wrath, which is an open spirit. An open spirit. If you're slow to wrath, you have an open spirit. An open spirit means you don't attack other people. There is control. Give yourself a test. Okay, you're lacking in the qualities of being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath in some measure if you fail the following test. One, you are an opinionated person. You always have an opinion. You always jump in. You interrupt other people. There are people like that who think that what they have to say is more important than what anyone else has to say. Number two, you are dogmatic. Nobody is going to tell you anything. Number three, you are intolerant of other people's views. Just no level of tolerance. It's your view. That is the correct one. Don't tolerate anybody else with a different opinion. Number four, you are critical of others. And number five, you are vindictive or bitter towards opponents. Vindictive and bitter toward those that oppose you. Now, all these things are things that would destroy the patience that the book of James is talking about. Remember, patience is a key theme in the book of James. But if we allow ourselves to be angry people, we destroy the spiritual endurance which God is trying to work out in our lives through times of testing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is trying to work patience in you. But these things destroy that work. Be on your outline, the source of wrath. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word filthiness is a Greek derivative of the Greek word rufus. It had a medical connotation. It was used in a medical sense in New Testament times. It meant to have wax in the ears. God has a sense of humor here. To have wax in the ears. To the spiritual Simeonites, God is saying you need to be swift to hear, live out the meaning of your name, and by the way, take the wax out of your ears so that you can hear, so that nothing would hinder our hearing. The source of wrath and uncontrolled anger is like that which bursts forth from a vessel like a volcano. Filthiness in the human spirit is like the power of a volcano where there is a rumbling, a stirring, a heating, and suddenly it can no longer be contained. Suddenly it blows up, it explodes. What happens? Anybody ever seen pictures of a volcano that has erupted? That lava, that hot, molten lava, spews out in all directions, doesn't it? And you know, when your anger spews out, it comes out in all directions, and it affects all people around you. It's from filthiness that has built up until finally the human spirit could take it no longer, and there is an eruption, an explosion. God wants to change you into a person of temperance and self-control. Another source of wrath is wickedness in the heart. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity means to overthrow. It's speaking of the overflowing of naughtiness or wickedness. The idea here is of a vessel. You've got a vessel that is filled. It's overflowing. It's already so full that it's overflowing. What happens? You continue to pour into it. Even after it's full, You continue to pour into it, and it overflows, and it keeps overflowing, and again, spreads out in all directions. The vessel is overflowing with lust, bitterness, passion, malice, hatred, criticism. Wickedness in the heart is the source of wrath. So we are told to be slow to speak. Now, how do we know that the source is wickedness in the heart? Because Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So whatever is in your heart eventually is going to come out. If there is wickedness in your heart, sooner or later, it will come out in our speech. We might try to cool it. We may try to bite our tongue. And you know, that works for a while. However, sooner or later, whatever is in the heart will find its way to the surface. It will come out. It'll come out the mouth. Anger will come forth when we should have been quick to hear, swift to hear, and slow to speak. Point C in your outline, the suppression of wrath is to receive God's word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. This deals with the hearing process. Hear the word of God. Wrath won't be there if you are swift to hear, slow to speak, to hear and receive God's word. And then have a spirit of meekness. Receive with meekness. That word meekness has an interesting history. It was used in ancient New Testament times and even in the 3rd and 4th century BC in reference to the military. Greek armies under Alexander the Great became world conquerors. In a relatively few years, Alexander the Great conquered the known world of his day. One of the greatest strengths of his military was that of his cavalry and the soldiers riding on horses. They would go out into the plains in Greece and find wild horses that would roam and wander at will. And they would bring these wild horses back and they would tame those horses. The training process was this Greek word meekness. Meekness had the idea of training a wild horse. Now in the history, our history of the Wild Wild West, one can read about a cowboy getting on a wild horse. There were wild horses here, just running free, doing whatever they wanted to do. Cowboys would try to tame those horses. They would get on the back of that horse would begin to buck. In effect, it was saying, "Get off my back. Nobody's going to ride me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do." But if that cowboy was a good cowboy, he stayed with the horse. He kept riding it. And if he could stay with that horse long enough, eventually the horse would finally expend all of its energy. At the point of complete collapse and at fatigue, it would finally give up and its independent spirit was broken. From that point on, it was a tame horse. That is the Greek concept of meekness. We have the idea today that meekness is weakness. Meekness is not weakness at all. Meekness is a strength that is under control. This control is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are people in your life, they are like God's cowboys. They might get on your back and they might ride you a bit. You know, at first you don't like it. You begin to buck them. Perhaps you've done your share of bucking. Perhaps you've done more than your share of bucking. Perhaps you need to get rid of your independent spirit and learn to be tame. Learn to stop bucking and start being a learner. Have a teachable spirit. Have an open spirit. Perhaps you've been somebody that has not shown a teachable spirit. You have been somebody that has been slow to hear and swift to speak. I'm encouraging you tonight to change that. Change that character in you. Don't be a Simeonite. Change that character, because just like it did him in, it'll do you in. And God might be speaking to your heart tonight and you'll say, "You know, you've got a problem with anger." Admit it. Admit that there is a problem with anger in your life. And deal with it. Because if you don't change this characteristic, you will never fulfill the purposes that God has for you. But if you deal with it and you learn patience, then you will be able to fulfill the purposes that God has planned for your life. I trust that each person will have enough maturity to thank God for authorities that love them enough to stay on their back, to stay on them, to stay with them, so that they could become a good workhorse, so that they could bear a load for God and do something profitable for Him. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And that's the third point, engraft the word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Memorize and meditate on God's word until it becomes a part of your spirit. The engrafted word is able to save your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, especially the emotion of anger that we are talking about here tonight. God wants to bring control into your lives and change you through testings. Why does He allow times of testings? He allows times of testings so that He can change you, so that He can take out what He doesn't want and place in you that which would lead to Christ-like living. The Simeon characteristic is anger. We've got 10 more to go. These are characteristics of people in the last days that God is trying to purge from His people. The first was instability. God is trying to change instability. He's trying to make us stable. That we become single-minded, not double-minded. And the second thing He's dealing with us on is anger. Uncontrolled anger. Maybe you're going through times of testing. Could it be that God is trying to change you? And the particular thing that He's trying to change in you is the spirit of anger. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray for those tonight that are considering anger in their lives. Pray, Lord, that You would help us to be open and honest with ourselves and with You. Lord, as we talked about this morning, You are, one of Your manifestations is the spirit of holiness. And Lord, we can buck against that, or we can allow ourselves to be under the control of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, tonight that as we recognize the anger in our lives, that You would give us the grace to be able to deal with it. I pray, Lord, that You would root it out of our lives. Lord, that everyone would be completely free from the spirit of anger. Lord, tonight we might be able to rationalize it. We might be able to call it different names. And yet, Lord, You know and we know that it's really anger. Purge us of it, we pray. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't really have a song tonight that I'd like to sing in closing, but I just feel led to ask if there's any testimony tonight in the area of anger, that maybe you've recognize that you've had a problem with anger and you've been able to overcome it with God's help. It might be an encouragement to somebody else that's here tonight. Anybody have a testimony along those lines? Rex? Okay.
Quite a while, I have quite a bit of anger built up for people that I used to live with. After I got out of the situation, God changed my heart completely. I never had any anger against Him anymore, so I left Him.
Praise the Lord.
And now He's gone.
Amen.
Isn't it great to be able to deal with that while there's still time? While the person is still around, you'll be able to deal with that. I can honestly say that you don't have any angry feelings toward them. I'm not saying this is easy to do. I'm not saying that at all. But thank you for that encouragement there, Rex. Anybody else?
Just somebody who I look up to in terms of having dealt with that and really being a testimony to me is my mother-in-law. She's an incredible lady. She's been offended in many different ways, and yet she always is very gracious and come back, and I've never seen her angry at anyone. And I look at her and I marvel at the work of God in her to deal with situations in such a gracious way. Really, I think meekness is really an appropriate word for her.
Mm. Thanks, Paul.
There's a little phrase that says, get low, go slow, and don't blow. And I think that's a good way to recognize and deal with anger. Get low, that's humility. Go slow, that's be swift to hear but slow to speak. And then don't blow. You know, we always say count to 10. There's something to that, I think. Get low, go slow, and then don't blow. Anybody else? Sandy.
I have a problem with anger with sister-in-law. And I guess it was just God and nothing that I did is there was over time that I removed that anger, and it's just a great freedom.
Yes. Great freedom.
So there is hope. It is possible to overcome. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Appreciate those testimonies tonight. Okay, well, let's stand. Pastor Craig, would you like to dismiss the service in prayer, please?
God, we just thank you for this time that we had worshiping together and just learning about you. Lord, we just ask that it would not just go into our minds, but it would penetrate our hearts. Lord, that we would be changed through it. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would continue to work in our lives this week. Lord, may we minister to others as we are ministered unto. In Jesus' name.